I won't have a lot to share. We're going to go, we're going to put legs on this thing tonight and just pray together as a church here in just a little bit. I wanted to share one more final point about the power of prayer this evening. We're going to start off praying together, and then I'm going to ask if anybody has anything they would like to share tonight as we work through a couple days of this together. If you got anything, I know Gina kind of shared a praise in her prayer time yesterday. If anyone else has anything you would like to share, we'll start there, give you a little time to express some things, take some prayer requests tonight, and then we will get started in our Bible study. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for today. We thank you for your grace and your goodness, how you've poured them out on us. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, most of all tonight as we talk about prayer, that it is your desire that we pray. It's for our good, but the heart of God wants to spend time with us. You want to speak to us. You want to be in our presence. You want us to feel your presence. You are a loving, holy God, a good Father. Jesus, you are worthy of so much more than we can offer. And yet you take our crumbs, our time, our talents, and you use them to bring honor to your name, to bless other people, and Lord, to bless our lives. And so for those things tonight, we are eternally grateful. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak loudly to us in our life for the needs that are there, the deficiencies that are there, the strengths that are there, the places that you have worked and borne fruit. I pray for those here tonight that you would remind them of that, who they once were and how far they have come, that we wouldn't get beat down or burdened with looking at Jesus and looking at others of the faith and having our hopes or our heart hurt from our lack of growth, our lack of maturity. So I pray that you would remind us where we once were and how far you've already brought us. That you'd bring peace to hearts here tonight that are struggling with that. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as a church, to love prayer, to love to speak to you, to love your word, to apply it, to believe it, and Lord, to stand on it. It's going to be the requirement in the very near future for all of us to understand what we believe and to stand on it firmly. So God, when those moments come, we know you're going to give us the words to say. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. For those that are grieving here tonight that have needs, I pray for their hearts and their minds that you would draw them close, that you would give them strength and courage to speak boldly the truth. Lord, that you would give them wisdom to know when it's time to grieve and to lean in and to love those in their life that are grieving. Lord, we need your wisdom, and we are thankful that you have plenty, more than enough. Jesus, we love you. We give tonight to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anyone have anything they want to share? It's been a good couple nights. The small group time has been really good. I know for me and a couple others have reached out and made comments about that. So it's a sweet time to get to know people in the church. It's a sweet time to get to see their heart instead of just their face or walk by and shake a hand. So that to me is a real blessing to our church and a strength that goes forward, because some of the relationships that have been made this week will be there for years. You'll remember that moment, and you kind of put a personal thing on a face at times. So that's one of the reasons why I asked you all to kind of split up and meet some new people and do some things there. Anyone have anything they want to share tonight? Okay. Yeah.
He told me that she used to go to church, and I said, well, you know, Trevor, I think my opinion on it is that your wife's spirit knows what she's supposed to be on, and when she's not doing that, she's in conviction, and that's the feeling of depression maybe that she's feeling, is that she knows, her spirit knows she should be going to church and get fed, but instead she's not doing that.
Yeah.
But I had good prayer with him, and I feel like he was really receptive of it. He said it kind of opened his eyes up a little bit, because he said, hey, he works a lot, he's got his own business.
Yep. Any others this evening?
The prayers for Rochelle. I don't think she made it this evening. She had a horrible migraine today. And it's her birthday, so it kind of stinks.
Boo. Yeah. It's a good thing we partied the other day then. Trying to get her in a car and blindfold her with a migraine would have been impossible. Your dad would have been in big trouble. Yeah. Oh, man.
Ended up in the hospital. She was in the ER with them last night. One's still in the hospital.
So two of the girls that work with her got attacked at work? Man. Okay.
And believe it or not, I mean, I had to run today. And part of my job is to do an intake with the information. Another part, when we're short-handed, is for me to go out and greet the people on their cars as they come in. And since I've been coming here these last couple of nights, I see people. I literally see people. Not like I see Luke in their yard, but
yeah.
I see, and I'm more watchful. And one of the fellows that come in, and he's an alcoholic, and I'm telling you, he was really rough. And I was very uncomfortable talking to him because of the ramble that they do.
Yeah.
But he came in today, and one of the girls said, Bill Castro's out there. Do you want to go talk to him? And I said, yeah. And I went out, and he was so clean cut, haircut, no drinking that I could see. He'd had some surgery and stuff, and I did get a chance to witness to him. This is the same fella that I prayed or asked him if I could pray with him every time he came in for 3 years. And it took me 3 years for him to even allow me to pray with him. So today he said, I just don't know how much longer I have. And I said, well, are you ready? I said, you better be making plans for that instead of working on your house or your car.
Yeah.
You're talking about. And he said, I know, I'm thinking about it. I said, Bill, it's not hard. It's not hard. Give it up.
Yeah.
And he said, I know, and he gave me a hug, and he just looked really, really good.
Yeah.
And then another lady came in, and I'm telling you, if you want somebody to pray with you, you just mention something, and she grabs your hand, and she gets into one of those Pentecostal prayers. And we talked today. We always share a little bit, but I was, and even the volunteers, I was seeing. My eyes were open.
Yeah.
Where normally they're so and so and so and so, but my eyes were open.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Yep. Amen. Amen. All right. Any others tonight?
Remember Donnie?
Yep.
Everything's about the same the last time. Red.
Okay. Justin, you got anything brewing back there for the teen group or anything? Any prayer requests there? Keep them growing. All right. Yes.
Amy lost like one of her eyes this morning, but then it returned. So if you could pray for Tom and Amy, and Tommy took her to the doctor and checked her eye out, they said everything was okay.
Okay. I don't want to say this out loud, but a mini stroke can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He told Stephanie that, she said you still need to get her to a doctor.
Yeah.
Get it checked out.
Yeah. Yep, she might have had a blockage somewhere that caused that, okay?
And pray for my son too, he said he's in my area. And he worries me because he doesn't, he tries to doctor himself a lot, and I'm not sure he's doing a good job.
You didn't have to tell us that, you said son, we knew he doctors himself. He ain't just said no hospital or no doctor. What do they know? They don't tell me what to do. Spoken like a true man. All right. Any others tonight? Yep. Did they get to come home?
Yes, he came home today. They did remove two stones, but they had to insert another stent. All the infection was not going. But this is a different one that he won't be put out or to take it out.
Okay. All right. But he's home.
He's home.
Okay. Man, I know she said he wasn't feeling well. That's miserable.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't look like Cecil today. But I just said, I don't know, but hey, bud, or something like that to him. And normally he's, okay, he and I insult each other.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Every good mother-in-law.
I'm the only mother-in-law he's ever been.
Okay.
So I have to make him see, you know. Anyway.
Whip him into shape. Do it. All right. We'll take these to the Lord together here in just a little bit. Before that, turn to 1 John chapter 5 with me. 1 John 5:1. And we had some stuff come up last night, and I was thinking about this passage in another direction, and I'll find the verse. 18 is in response to last night. We were talking about protection, and one of the verses in Scripture that I love the most, and I actually turned there. I had a really weird interaction in high school. I was a senior. I woke up in bed one night and couldn't move, and I just had this really eerie, heavy feeling, and I didn't know really what was going on. Couldn't move, couldn't scream, couldn't do anything. I was wide awake, and the only thing I could do was pray and cry. And that was it. And I remember the next day, I was looking through the Bible. I found this verse, and for months on my nightstand, my Bible was laid open to this verse in 1 John chapter 5. It says, 18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So we were talking about that in the context of prayer and the protection of God last night. It's one of my favorite verses to go to as a reminder, and it's basically it's a condensed version of Job's book, because Satan has to have permission. Okay, he has to have permission to touch Job. His permission only goes so far. Even the second time he comes back in, it only goes so far. And so this was a verse that helped me a lot of my early life as I was in the middle of something I could not explain, and I just felt like there was an evil presence there with me. This was the reminder that I needed even in that moment when all I could do was pray and go back to sleep, which is what eventually happened. That being said, chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. The only truth that I want to give you tonight is simply this. Prayer brings the presence of God. Prayer walks us into his presence, and then Scripture over and over and over again. In those moments of being brokenhearted, distraught, or hurt, That is what brings God to us. He is near to the brokenhearted, meaning he is always close. He is always near. We understand that as a theological idea. But in those moments of brokenness and in those moments of prayer, the experience is different. Because he runs to meet. And the picture I want to give you tonight is really that of the prodigal's father. You know the story of the prodigal son. Everybody knows that one. I was listening to somebody talk about it the other day, and they made the comment, the story ought to be labeled the prodigal's sons, or the prodigal sons, because if you read through that story, the man ends up estranged from one on purpose who comes back, the prodigal, but then the older brother is left out on a limb, upset that he doesn't have a party. Now, I said years ago that that parable ought to be labeled the prodigal's father, because the main character of the story, or the one that should shake us to our core, is the father in that story, waiting and watching and welcoming. Even when the RVL, Ray Vanderland, would talk about the context of the Jewish community, he would make a comment, like, it is unseemly, not right for a man to run in that culture. It's embarrassing.
Any man.
Older men, patriarch, they do not run. Everything is under control, right? And in that story, what do we see the patriarch do? He runs to his son. So if the prodigal's father is the representative of God, we see in that he is longing to be with us, longing to have fellowship restored to us, okay? So that's the only point I want to make with you tonight. The power of prayer is simply this. It is the nearness to God that you and I crave and need. This is his word. We read through it. And I would encourage you to use all the things you know. The word of God, the music that you listen to, all of these things to make those moments of prayer. Even this week in my own life, it's been a constant reminder of to say thank you, right? It's been a constant reminder of, man, I need help here, I need wisdom here, just to speak those sentences randomly throughout the day, just to sprinkle them in, because it is that important to keep my character under control, my emotions under control. It's been a couple chaotic days dealing with things, and it's been more than once, it's just been like, Lord, this is really starting to get frustrating. I need some help. I need some clarity. I need some wisdom. I need this to fall through. I need this thing to get done. I need to be able to give this thing back, or I need to be done with this and just try to move through the day. It's just been a constant reminder of going into his presence and just asking, even if it's just for one thing, or going into his presence and saying, thank you, that's done. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for watching out for me. Thank you for doing this. It is the nearness of God. It's 1 John chapter 5. How about Psalm 145? Now, our prayers are assured as long as we ask what? According to the will of God. So when you and I talk about our prayer life, one of the things we have to understand is you and I are not changing Him. We're not bending Him to our will. Okay? If we do that, who becomes God? We do. Okay? Now, we can go in the Old Testament, and we can see a couple wild stories there, especially in Genesis, Exodus, where Abraham, where Moses, they are interacting with the Lord and interceding for people. And those stories kind of bend this a little bit. But when you and I walk into the throne room of God, we are not begging Him to change His mind. Because if I am begging for that, what am I actually telling Him subconsciously? You were off. You're wrong. You don't understand. Okay? So you and I are assured of every prayer request that is according to His will. So what are the things that are according to God's will in your life? What does He want to do? What prayers can I pray that are going to get answered? He wants to make my character like who? He wants me to bear what? Fruit. Does He want me to be bold? Does He want me to have strength and courage? Okay. Does he want me to love other people well?
Yes.
So when I am, now when I'm navigating for a decision on something, I'm longing for peace. Because he's not just going to show up and say, yes, do it. No, right? It's not going to be an audible thing. But when I am praying for things that I know are according to his will, number one, we could go as far as to say they've already been answered. Jesus has already come. The new spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. You have the word of God and you have the friends and the capacity to get what you need done. Okay? So we need to realize that we are asking things according to his will. And then we're asking him to change us in accordance with it. So when you and I are talking about prayer, we are asking God to change our deficiencies, our needs. Okay? Look at Psalm 145 with me. Verse 14. We'll start there and read down. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Now, what a sweet passage to read through. But I want you to think about some of the stuff in there, right? The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Man, when life is hard, when you are in need, when you feel like you are falling spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, the Lord is there to be helpful, to be strong. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and kind in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him and all who call on him in truth. Again, we see this same kind of interaction with our prayer life. Okay? Desire truth, desire to know it, come to him in it. One of the things that you and I can do that we've talked about in the past is, but the more you know of God's word, the better off your prayer time is going to be, but it's also going to allow you to leverage those promises in the middle of those prayers. Quote the scripture back to the Father. You promised, and this is what you said. Okay? And we know how powerful that is in our personal lives. You told your kids you were going to do something, your grandkids you were going to do something. What happens the next time they see you? A niece, a nephew, whoever. We're going to, hey, the next time you come, we're going to do this. Or, hey, tomorrow we're going to do this. Or a week from now. Or 363 days from now. And they'll have a calendar out looking out and putting it down. We know the power of that. As you and I walk into the presence of God with his word on our heart and on our tongue, you get to leverage that. Lord, you said. You said you would give. You said you would provide. Help me. Help me to love those that you've given me to love. I've got one more for you tonight. Proverbs chapter 15. The power of prayer is the nearness of God. But what is the one thing that will hamper that nearness? Sin in our life? Something that we've not repented of, something that we're hanging on to, something that we're clinging to, some lie that has been told to us that we have believed over and above what God has told us on repeat. Proverbs 15:29 says this, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." And that is the last simple piece of our last couple days together. James says that we come, you know, before God as double-minded men, unstable in all of our ways, right? You ask for things, but you don't believe you're actually going to get them, so you don't. Our lack of faith is sinful against God, but there are also things that we do in our life that we know we should not be doing. So if we are living in unrepentant sin, if we are disobeying the Father and we are worried about our prayer life, we need to be. It may feel dry or empty. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in those moments, what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us around to is conviction, right? So when you go through the Lord's Prayer, like we did last night, forgive us of our sins as we forgive our debtors. So part of that time of prayer, you and I need to be opening up our hearts and our minds to what God would call sin and repenting of it. Because if we don't, what do we end up doing? I'm not going to say wasting our time, but I'm going to say that our fellowship with the Lord is broken. Okay? We do not have to be perfect. We need to be striving. And that's the difference between thinking everything is perfect in your life and repenting and moving forward. So as we deal with prayer as a church, as a people, as individuals, we need to understand that if there are times in our life when things are cold or distant or we are not praying, you can guarantee there is some seed of sin that needs to be dug out of there. Okay? At a bare minimum, even last night telling you what Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And that idea is directly related to prayer. Am I going to find people praying out, crying out to God for both help and love and care and praise and worship? And that's the question Jesus asked the crowd that day, one that has terrified me to my core. So as you and I start to dive into prayer, one thing that's going to happen is God is going to start to purify us individually and together, because we can't keep walking into or trying to walk into his presence and leave unchanged. And so the Holy Spirit will start to answer that very first prayer, which is, clean me up, show me what's wrong, help me be more like Jesus. And instead of revealing everything at once, I am so thankful for this on repeat. Instead of revealing everything at once, the Holy Spirit gives us knowledge about one thing and one thing and one thing. So he can walk us through them. Because, man, if he laid out for me everything in my life that dishonored God, I think it would kill me in a moment. And yet the grace of Jesus, the grace of the cross, has made it so to where my sins are forgiven as God is working me through them and making me more like Jesus. And I end tonight in the realm of prayer where I began even on Sunday morning before we left, which was simply this. If Jesus needed to pray, who are you and I to think it's not a necessity? And here's what I hope the transition is in the coming years of my tenure here and us being a church together. My prayer is simply this, that it goes from something that we need to do into something that we want to do. And then into something that's just like breathing. It's just a habit. It is the posture of my heart. It is the posture of our church. We have seen the Lord work. He has answered our prayers. And instead of thinking that we're finished and tidied up and it's all done, we keep going back for a little bit more. Like, what else are you going to do, Lord? Because if we miss that, we may be really busy, but we're not going to be doing God's work. We're not going to be doing the things that he has for us if you and I can do it without prayer. Now, it might be godly work, but it's not going to have his power and his push behind it. So you and I can go through the motion of Christian stuff, but if we're not praying on repeat, we're going to miss the godly stuff. Your life will still be blessed. You may still come across as peaceful and calm and all kinds of stuff because you believe the word and other things like that. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody else. I've been a Christian now for 34 years. I've listened to a lot of sermons. I've read a lot of Bible. I've done a lot of the stuff. And man, for me, it just makes sense. Like this book, even if God was not real, this book makes sense to me. The way it's telling us to live makes sense to me. It brings peace and joy and strength when the rest of the world is going crazy. Even if he wasn't alive and real, this book would make more sense than anything the world has to offer. And so I say these things even talking to myself. We can do a lot of godly looking things. But if you and I aren't praying as individuals and as a body, we're going to miss God's work. Significant pieces of it. So that is my prayer for the church. We've gone through the purpose of prayer, the plan of prayer, and the power of prayer. And now we need to just apply it. Enjoy little times in your day of thinking about the Lord. I think it's funny, all the interaction we're getting with other people, where these conversations start coming up. You know what's funny? As you and I focus on God during the day, you know what happens when we meet someone or go to talk to someone? He comes up. Isn't that fascinating? It's not an accident. You're thinking more about prayer. You're thinking more about talking to him. And then all of a sudden, there's an opportunity that arises. And your first thought and your heart goes to, what does the Lord have to say about this situation? Or what can he provide in this situation? That's not by accident. It works the same way when you're dwelling on Scripture. But prayer just makes it different. I am needy. They are needy. I am talking to them. I've been talking to him. They need something. I know where they can go. And so that just fascinates me, because we're going to have more evangelism, more moments of counseling, more moments of reaching out. The more you and I think about honoring God, loving him, and praying throughout the day, the more opportunity you're going to have to share the gospel and what he has done for you. We're going to close tonight. And then the last thing this evening is, I want to ask everybody to come up here, and we're just going to pray like a church. And we're going to do it together. I'm going to ask, like, if you run a ministry or something like that, I would ask that you speak up and pray for something specific in that. Like, I brought Justin up a little bit ago just to kind of get his wheels turning, because I knew I was going to do this. But I want to hear him pray for the youth of the church. I want to hear him pray, maybe even by name, for those that are in need. If you run something else in the church, I want you to pray for it. Think about the pattern from last night. We open with who we're talking to, our father, our daddy. We go into some praise, ask for what you need, pray for protection, pray for provision, like work in that pattern, and we'll just honor the Lord by believing his promises tonight. So I got the prayer request written down here too for in a little bit. Anybody have anything they want to share? Anything they want to expound on? Phil, you got any thoughts? I'll put you on the spot. Yeah, that's good. And I remind you all too, last night what Stephen was talking about, like spending a little time dwelling on that, man. Like, prayer is counseling. Prayer is squeezing that venom out in front of someone that can handle it. And dare we even say not judge you because of it, right? Like, you can trust him. You can roll into that room. You can, you know, a good walk outside with some tears and some hands raised and some, you know, language and all of it. Like, it's all there. And that's, I mean, it's counseling for the soul. It gets that stuff out of there. And the more you verbalize it to the Lord, like even the stuff that Phil was talking about, like, I don't know what else to pray for this issue. The more you and I at least keep taking the emotions in there, the less of a toehold the enemy has. Because he deals in bitterness and unforgiveness and other things, and he can read us like a book. He can't read your mind, but that side of the equation has been watching human behavior for a long time. And if they're reading your text messages or reading your facial expression, you better believe they know where to poke. So the more you and I get that venom and that bitterness and that anger out of our system, even if it's in prayer to the Lord, the less ammunition he has or the less of a hold he has on your life. So that was very good things to think about. Because even with Phil tonight, you're walking in and just your emotions are prayers. I am still grieving this. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus know how to take that and make it a language and then offer it to God the Father. So even walking in with those emotions, I don't know anything else to say other than my heart hurts. It's heavy. And God reads that and takes that, okay? So that's some really good things. Angie? Yeah.
Your will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, and that's including my children. And your will is that no one should perish but have everlasting life. And one of them was Deuteronomy. We talked about one of them was Deuteronomy, I think it was chapter 30, where you'll consecrate my heart and the hearts of my descendants. And I was like, cut off anything that is not of you, off of all of our hearts. Cut it off. You know, bind up our broken hearts, but cut it off. And I believed I wasn't supposed to miss a day. And I know that.
Deep into the theological pool there, right? Just trusting in him. Amen. Any others tonight? All right.
This may not seem like what we've been talking about, but today as I was driving down the road and you look at the trees, and I went to talk to God, and I said, Father, how could anyone doubt when the trees, they come out in the spring, they're beautiful and green, and then they go through the summer, and then as it begins to get cold, each tree changes the color that he meant it to be. And that's weeds and everything does this, wildflowers. And then they drop those leaves, they as if they go to sleep for the winter, and then he wakes them up in the spring. How could anyone doubt that there is not a God that has programmed this into every plant?
Yep.
Into, and then into us. How could
Yep.
He did it.
Cosmic bang. Spinning hot dust made everything. It's unbelievable. Yep. That's exactly right.
His
Okay?